and 107.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Another round of brokered ceasefire talks wrapping up in Doha. The delegation signaled that they would resume talks next week in Cairo and are inching closer to finalizing a deal to end the war and secure the release of remaining hostages held by Hamas in Gaza. At the White House, President Biden telling reporters he's optimistic.
We're not there yet. It's much, much closer than it was 3 days ago. So keep your fingers crossed.
The WHO and UNICEF say a humanitarian pause in fighting is critical to help distribute polio vaccines in Gaza. In Florida, the jury has begun deliberations in the trial of Susan Lawrence, the white woman charged in the fatal shooting of her black neighbor, Ajika Owens, in June 2023. Owens walked up to Lorenz's door over a dispute and was shot through the closed door. Ernesto on the move and targeting Bermuda as a Category 2 hurricane. Residents in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands still cleaning up. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A record number of people are working in Wisconsin, a little more than 3 million of us. The Department of Workforce Development says the statewide jobless rate for July was 3%, a little higher than 2.9 in June, but still lower than the national rate of 4.3%. 1,300 more people got jobs in Wisconsin last month. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance campaigns in Milwaukee today. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Vance speaks at the Milwaukee Police Association headquarters. It's his second visit to Wisconsin since accepting the Republican VP nomination at the Fiserv Forum last month. He spoke to a small group at a factory in Eau Claire last week. Meanwhile, Vice President Harris and Democratic running mate Tim Walz plan to be in Milwaukee Tuesday. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Duluth Mayor Roger Reinhart declared Thursday Harbor Monster Day to honor the city's new championship team. According to a Northern News Now report, Duluth's new Arena Football League team won the first ever championship for the new league on August 10th, defeating the Iowa Woo 46-44 at home. The team had begun the season with a 1-3 record, then won six straight games to close out and become the first ever winner. Repeating as champions will be tougher next year, with two more teams joining the new league. A Republican primary candidate for Wisconsin's 74th Assembly District is sharing his thoughts on the ballot issues in the town of Summit. Scott Harbridge lost the primary vote to incumbent Chance Green in the newly redrawn district on Tuesday, receiving 43% of the vote compared to 57% for Green. In a statement, Harbridge said the state should get rid of the WEC after the mistake, as 190 Summit voters were disenfranchised. Officials say Green won by about 1,000 votes and was declared the winner. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers' Christian Yelich out for the year. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Christian Yelich undergoing season-ending back surgery today in Milwaukee.
It just got to the point where it wasn't getting better. Tried everything I could. Ran out of options, and it came time to make a decision. This was the best option, you know, that we really had left.
The 32-year-old Yelich making the announcement last night on social media. Meanwhile, the Brewers able to put together an eighth-inning rally to beat the Dodgers 6-4 to split the four-game series 2 games apiece. Reese Hoskins and outfielder Garrett Mitchell.
Garrett had a really, really good at-bat to give us first and second, and then really put the pressure on with the tying run at second base. You feed off each other when you're doing that, and I think we are able to put it all together there in the eighth inning.
NFL, the Packers joint practice sessions underway today in Denver. A chance for quarterback Jordan Love to work with his long list of receivers against the Broncos defense.
We have a real deep, you know, receiver group, which, like I said before, is a good problem to have.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
More scattered showers and some thunderstorms are expected again this afternoon and into the evening. Some of them could be strong, bringing gusty winds, heavy downpours, and small hail. Otherwise, today, more clouds than sunshine, breezy winds, and high temperatures cooler into the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 68.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Fabulous Farm Bay, Pam Yonke here, bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings on WLAK. This isn't just for farmers, people. It's for anybody that enjoys food. Tune in 5 a.m. on Lake Air 1260 WLAK Amory.
Pat Kreitlow. Monday morning, we're in Milwaukee getting set to board the train as we preview this week's Democratic National Convention in Chicago.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin, worldwide on the Civic Media app, and across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Luke Mathers, not Mr. Todd Albaugh, filling in for Mr. Albaugh as he is dedicated to making sure he gets everything set up that he needs set up and the Civic Media team needs set up down in Chicago for the Democratic National Convention coverage that is taking place next week. So Todd is busy at work down there in the Windy City. I am Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Albaugh here on the Todd Albaugh Show, Luke's version. Mr. Aaron Zommer's on the board helping engineer the show. And you on the phone lines, you can join us at any time, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Mr. Zommer's, how are we doing on this Friday afternoon?
Doing well. It's good to be here as always. And I wish that I could say Todd had a day off and he was taking a break, but no, he's very busy.
He's got a Chicago dog. He's just enjoying the skyline, you know, maybe taking in one of the museums. No, not the case. He is hard at work down there in Chicago. So yes, off from the airwaves here from noon until 2 p.m., but we are going to take good care of the time slot in his absence. And he is diligently making sure all of the wires, all of the screens, all of the computers, all of the things, he and the engineering team down there in Chicago, we're very excited here at Civic Media to be bringing coverage of the Democratic National Convention taking place next Monday through Thursday in the Windy City. You can tune in the Todd Albaugh Show, and Todd will be there live. The Maggie Dawn Show will be broadcasting live. The Earl Ingram Show will be down there covering the events, broadcasting from a near the convention center site all next week. And we will have special Civic Media coverage from 6 until 7 p.m. those four nights as well next week during the DNC. So a lot to look forward to there, and Todd and the engineers hard at work making sure everything is set to go for that. And so we're going to have some fun. We're going to preview again. We'll share the interview that Todd and the producers and director from Just a Bit Outside, that we'll re-share that interview from yesterday afternoon. Todd and Aaron did do a giveaway during that as well. So the giveaway is done, folks. But we want to reshare for our listeners on WISS in Oshkosh and WRCE in Richland Center, who got to hear the Brewers take on the LA Dodgers yesterday afternoon instead of the excellent interview. So we're going to bring that in full coming up at 1:30. And between now and then, we've got a ton of headlines, and you on the phone lines, you can join us, 855-75-CIVIC. My question today, and Zommer's, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, but want to just ask the general listening audience. We've got a lot going on right now with the horse race of politics. We see that there's the polls are now kind of all brand new of when the Democratic ticket changed about a month ago now. And the political landscape shifted largely. But a lot of that coverage has been on that horse race, of how that change made all of a sudden who's going to win the 2024 presidential cycle a lot more covered. But that's not always, that is always the case when it comes to these presidential cycles. It tends to fall into the habit of, well, what is the horse race? What do the polls say? Who's going to win? And instead of talking about the horse race today, I would really prefer to talk about what government's role should be. More of the consequences of who wins. Because, yes, the 24-hour news cycle feeds off of these polls. We see take after take after take of, oh, this poll and these voters are thinking in this way in this state and this got to go into the crosstabs and check these things out. And all of that's important. But that all revolves around the horse race. It doesn't actually get into what should government do for us as Wisconsinites, as citizens across the entire country. What kind of things should we expect from our government? Because after November, come January, it's not going to be a horse race to cover. It's going to be which winner of the election, whether it's a Harris-Walz administration or a Trump-Vance administration, the questions will become, okay, what are those administrations going to do for us, the American people, and for us here in the state of Wisconsin? And I don't know if we're actually talking about that enough. I think too much of the coverage comes into what's the horse race? Where is the race at right now? And we don't actually talk about what it could mean in real life for us going about our daily lives, going to work, spending time with our families, doing the things that we do on a day in and day out basis that have nothing to do with the political horse race. We've seen in this election cycle, the Trump administration or the Trump campaign, excuse me, try to distance themselves from Project 2025. We've seen calls for, despite her candidacy being only about 3.5-4 weeks old, asking for Kamala Harris to put out these policy positions, demanding these platforms. I think we're going to get a lot of those next week at the Democratic National Convention. That's typically when campaigns solidify what their party platform is. And so we've got a speech coming up later today from Vice President Harris, where she's planning to lay out some of those economic policy proposals, or at least her viewpoints on where she believes a Harris-Walz administration would, what priorities they would pursue. We don't really have, with 2020, we had no platform from the Republican side of things. We're now seeing the Trump administration adopt a campaign platform that had a little bit more substance to it than 2020. But a lot of that still not there, that substance not there. He says he's going to have an infrastructure plan. He says he'll have a healthcare plan. There's a lot of platitudes delivered there. And so that I think it rightfully leads to the question of, well, if he were to win in November, what's stopping Project 2025 from becoming his administration's platform, from becoming the policy objectives of a second Trump term? And so we're seeing a lot of, in this political cycle, what two visions could be come January in either a Harris administration or a Trump administration. But I want to know from you, what do you believe government should do for us as individual citizens going about our daily lives? 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. This is a pretty philosophical question. Mr. Zommers, you got thoughts? What are your thoughts on, in your daily life, how can government benefit you?
Well, I think if we start all the way at whatever you want to call it, the top level, the bottom level, at the base of things, why is government here? Well, it is there to protect people from outside attack, because we're not all one nation, and even if we were, people would try to kill each other, because that's just how it's been historically.
National defense.
So national defense is part of it. Providing protections to citizens from themselves, I think, is part of it. Some of that is in the form of education. Some of that is in the form of maybe making certain drugs illegal or certain kinds of weapons illegal. And putting in safeguards like the FDA for food and things like that.
So general safety.
General safety.
Okay. So safety both domestically and abroad.
Yeah.
Domestic and foreign safety.
I think those are the biggest things. And I think that as big as our society has gotten, why would we not also try to take care of all of our basic needs at a government level? So I think personally, one of the biggest things that I think our government does not do well enough compared to others is healthcare. I think that the United States has a nonsensical healthcare just system, conglomeration of systems, and it makes it incredibly difficult to get treatment for something that is likely not your fault and not go bankrupt.
Okay. So the general well-being, safety of its citizens. I think that's a pretty good starting line for what a government should do. I think a huge area where Americans over the last, really since the pandemic, I think the pandemic highlighted a lot of it, of consumer protections. Making sure that our citizens are taken care of isn't just something from the national defense perspective, from the education perspective, from the health care perspective. I think consumer protections is a huge, huge thing that Americans are crying out for. We are being squished and stretched and really seeing corporations, organizations take advantage of consumers. I think it's a huge part. And I think that can fall into many different categories. And we've got one relating to that healthcare system, conglomerate, however you referred to it there, Mr. Zommer. This one over at the AP, the headline, White House says prescription drug deals will produce billions in savings for taxpayers and seniors. This reporting from the Associated Press yesterday is right in line there. How is it that the pharmaceutical companies are able to charge so much higher prices that by simply having the government negotiate some of these prices, billions in savings can be provided to Americans? Us as taxpayers, to the seniors needing those drugs. Just a quick top line from the piece. Taxpayers are expected to save billions after the Biden administration inked deals with pharmaceutical companies to knock down the list price of 10 of Medicare's costliest drugs. Billions in savings off of 10 drugs.
Having worked as a pharmacy tech, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So we're going to get into this piece, a couple more consumer protections as well. I want to hear your thoughts. You can join us on the phone lines, 855-75-CIVIC. You are listening to the Todd Alba Show. This is Luke's version with Mr. Alba taking care of business down in Chicago leading up to the DNC. We're going to keep the conversation rolling. 855-75-CIVIC. Give us a call.
And I'll write your name.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show, Luke's version. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Todd Alba on this Friday afternoon, high above State Streets from the world headquarters of Civic Media. You can join us on the phone lines throughout the show, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC, talking about what the role of government should be. I think we're missing a lot of things as well when we focus on the horse race. I think it's an important thing. Obviously, the consequences of our elections are very, very important. But just talking about it in a who will win situation, I don't think is the right perspective we need to be having. I think it's the two visions of either a Harris administration or another Trump administration on what they would mean for our everyday lives is an important lens to be talking about what the consequences and what the stakes of this election come November is. Now, we've had a lot going on between the presidential horse race here in Wisconsin alone. We know we are the center of the political universe. This afternoon, we have a Republican vice presidential nominee, J.D. Vance, talking in Milwaukee. Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles is reporting on that visit. We have Vice President Kamala Harris coming next Tuesday. While the DNC is going on, she's going to be coming to Milwaukee as well. I anticipate we are going to have many more visits between now and November 5th from both candidates, from surrogates, from a lot of the different players of what these two administrations would look like. And I think it's important to talk about what it would mean for us as citizens for either of these two visions of the future would be. And so talking about a headline over at the Associated Press, talking about the announcement yesterday from the Biden-Harris administration, talking about the federal government's ability now to negotiate with pharmaceutical companies to knock down the prices for 10 of Medicare's costliest drugs. It's expected to save both American taxpayers and American seniors who receive these drugs billions of dollars. And so it very much just reminds me of that Family Guy meme, Aaron. You're probably familiar. Why are we not funding this? When Peter, I believe he walks out of like a, I think it's stem cell research, which obviously had a whole political kind of thing back and forth. But it's just, why are we not funding this? When we see things like this, when you see proposals like the IRS getting proper funding, and then all of a sudden billions in back taxes are magically found because the IRS had the resources to go find people that were avoiding their taxes.
Why are we not funding this?
Thank you, Mr. Sommers. When the White House, through a process that has been unfolding for the last 2 years, can negotiate drug prices to say, hey, pharmaceutical companies, you're not going to take advantage of us as American taxpayers and seniors that receive these drugs through Medicare. You can't do that anymore. And so it's not just this alone being announced this week. We've also seen from the Biden administration earlier on Monday of this week, August 12th, this headline from over at ABC News, canceling subscriptions should be as easy as signing up, newly proposed federal rules say. It falls in the same vein. We shouldn't be taken advantage of by these companies because they want to be able to continue to make money off of us. They can't just charge higher prices of drugs because they can't. They can't make it impossible for you to cancel a subscription anymore with these crackdowns that the Biden-Harris administration is having for consumer protections. It is important actions like this that can improve our daily lives. And it's not a large government overreach. It's the federal government saying, hey, listen, Netflix, you can't make it next to impossible for somebody to cancel their plan once they sign up with you. Listen, pharmaceutical companies, you can't just inflate your price because you're the only one that makes this drug and you think that it costs that much. You can't artificially float these prices. And it is interesting to see that in a decision that is going to be who the next administration is going to be, whether aspects like this, cracking down on these corporations and protecting consumer protections, or things outlined in Project 2025, which the Trump campaign says that they disavow, but the Heritage Foundation is quietly telling its supporters still, hey, he's just doing that for the, that's the political thing that he's got to say out on the airwaves and in the news and stuff, but we're really tight with him still. We're all things are good. If he wins, we'll know what to do. Want to hear your thoughts. 855-75-CIVIC. Let's head over to the phone lines. We got Lisa in Middleton. Lisa, what are your thoughts on what the government's role should be and some of these headlines coming out of the Biden-Harris administration this week?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, Luke. It's good to hear you on the radio again. I think, you know, the policy issues you brought up are important ones, but for me, the basic role of our government is to protect the rights of its people, including the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And thanks to the Trump administration appointing three Supreme Court justices, our government stripped away a fundamental right to bodily autonomy for over half of the population. And to me, that conflicts with the right for me and people like me to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. And I can understand how for men, this isn't an everyday thing, but rest assured when I say that the thought bubbles of all the women out there include the realization that the knowledge that we are not equal in terms of our rights. We are not equal to our brothers in this country. And so to me, that is a fundamental role of government. And our government, thanks to the Trump administration, is failing on that. Thanks for listening.
Appreciate the phone call, Lisa. And I think it's important to point out as well in comparing what the two potential administrations would look like come January. The Republican vice presidential nominee, J.D. Vance, U.S. Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio, who is in Milwaukee this afternoon, he said that bodily autonomy, and a woman's right to make her own healthcare decisions, that's not a normal issue. He was on, I forget which show he was on this week, I believe it was on Laura Ingraham's program on Fox News Channel, talking about how suburban women, they're not actually concerned about that. They're concerned about normal issues. And so that is one of the perspectives for what a potential Trump-Vance administration has on that current issue. Appreciate the phone call, Lisa. You can be like Lisa. 855-75-CIVIC. You are listening to the Todd Alba Show, Luke's version. We're filling in for Todd this Friday afternoon as he gets ready to cover the events taking place in Chicago next week with the Democratic National Convention. Want to hear your thoughts on what the role of government should be looking forward beyond the horse race. You're listening to the Todd Alba Show across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For a long time, farmers have been wondering how to get the most out of their land when it comes to grazing. I'm Ben Jarb with the Midwest Farm Report, and Chris Reichert of Reichert Land and Cattle in Sheboygan Falls explains how rotational grazing has benefited their farm from a grazing and a runoff standpoint.
I think the biggest thing we've seen is actually this past spring and how beneficial it was. You know, we've had really tremendous amounts of rainfall since basically May on, and the minimal water runoff that we saw coming off the pasture was pretty impressive. The water that was running off was very clean, not very dirty. Unfortunately, that has kind of hampered our grazing rotation because of how wet things have been. But, you know, we've been blessed with a bountiful amount of grass. And now that we are out grazing, we're kind of seeing the benefits of having that there.
Chris Reichert on how rotational grazing has impacted them this year. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and your midday markets are coming up right after this.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And Cleary Building Corp. Visit clearybuilding.com to see the Cleary difference. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarb with the Midwest Farm Report, and remember to follow along with us on all things agriculture by downloading our app, The Farm. You can download it at thefarmwi.com or by looking for The Farm on your app store. Now time for your midday markets from Chicago. September corn is at 372.5, down 2.5. December corn is at 394.5, also down 2.5. September soybeans are at 941, down 10.5. November soybeans are at 959, down 9.5. September wheat contracts are at 532.25, up 4. Class 3 milk for September is at 22 even, down 5 cents. Class 3 milk for October is at 22.19 a hundredweight, down 21 cents. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
More scattered showers and some thunderstorms are expected again this afternoon and into the evening. Some of them could be strong, bringing gusty winds, heavy downpours, and small hail. Otherwise, today, more clouds than sunshine, breezy winds, and high temperatures cooler into the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, actor Sean Astin of Rudy and Lord of the Rings fame will join us. He's stomping for Harris all Saturday across the state. He'll tell us why.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
No, folks, you are not hallucinating. It is not a Tuesday afternoon. for a little Tuesday Tangents. It is just me, Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Todd Alba here on the Todd Alba Show on this Friday afternoon, taking you into the weekend as Todd is getting set up down in Chicago for coverage of the Democratic National Convention taking place Monday through Thursday of next week. Going to be excited to bring that coverage to you here across the Civic Media team, our engineers, our hosts, our news team, all going to be down there in Chicago covering the events. You can tune in for live coverage from the United Center in Chicago of the Todd Alba Show from noon till 2 all next week, as well as the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4. Todd and Maggie will be there, as well as our Civic Media news team bringing you special coverage from 6 until 7 p.m. across that. We'll have the Devil's Advocates. I believe Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio is going to be down there as well. There's going to be a lot of different cast members from around the Civic Media network that will be there. So you're going to want to tune in all next week, Monday through Thursday, August 19th to the 22nd. We'll be bringing you the coverage of the speeches, interviews that you won't be able to find anywhere else. It's going to be a great time covering the event. I know that our team is very excited to be able to have the opportunity to bring that coverage to you, very similar to how we brought the coverage of the Republican National Convention when it was here in our backyard in Milwaukee. We do have Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance speaking in Milwaukee this afternoon. We'll be monitoring that, bringing any news from there to you, the listeners, as well as we've got a economic speech planned to come from Vice President Harris this evening. She's expected to talk about the economic priorities her administration would have in its first 100 days, looking to cut prices for grocery, housing, and other different sources, and so we're going to monitor that and bring that to you as well if there's any news in it this evening. You can join us on the phone lines having a conversation about what the role of government should be, what the two different visions of a Harris administration come January or a second Trump administration would be, not really focusing on the numbers, the horse race of it all, but instead saying, what would it mean for folks like us, just everyday individuals going about our lives? What are some of the things that we could see? I think it will be interesting that some of the things that will be talked about with Vice President Harris's remarks on the economy later this afternoon, as well as we'll get a full picture next week as the coverage of the DNC takes place across the Civic Media airwaves, what that platform will shape up to be for the Democratic ticket of the Harris-Walz campaign. So we'll bring all of that information to you live next week. Let's head over to the phone lines, continue this conversation there. We've got Mark from Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what are your thoughts this Friday afternoon?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I think a lot of it can be actually what our nation should be, is actually we found in some of the foundational documents. You know, the Declaration of Independence, you know, one of the griefs against the British government is the government had refused to assent, I'll quote it directly, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good, and also in the preamble to our Constitution, where it talks about the general welfare, domestic tranquility, providing for the common defense, you know, and ensuring the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our prosperity. You can find it in there. I mean, in Project 2025, I see nothing more than a rehash of the Confederate government and their rejection of, you know, the although we fell far from it in the ideals of the Declaration of Independence, where all men are created equal. We should be seeking social justice and human equality in all things, and that I think Project 25 is anathema to that. What torques me even more is that for some of these people, and some of these fundamentalists, they forget to imagine, they don't seem to understand that it's precisely the fact that we do not have an establishment clause, established religion in this country, that all those different sects have been allowed to thrive in this country, because their beliefs, you know, their dogma is inventions of the Second Great Awakening in the mid-19th century, stuff that would have been considered anathema to all, say, the ones they like to idolize, is like the Puritans. They would be considered most of what a lot of their practices as being heretical and subject to being hung if you started preaching that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's very interesting, Mark, that you went back to some of the nation's founding documents, very similar to Lisa and Middleton chiming in, talking about the ability to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. My favorite line from the preamble, in order to form a more perfect union, the striving for the ability to be a more perfect union. Appreciate the phone call, Mark. You can be like Mark and Lisa. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Up next, let's head over to Wanakee, where we've got Barb listening in, wants to talk about corporate protections. Barb, what are your thoughts this Friday afternoon?
Hi. I've been thinking about talking to Tammy Baldwin about this, but as a senior citizen, I find more and more credit card companies, insurance companies, saying that they're not going to provide a paper statement anymore unless you pay more money. So if you want your paper statement, you're going to get charged $1.99 or $2 or $3 a month to get that paper statement. And I think it's really discriminatory towards elderly people who may not have a computer at home or a printer at home. And
Barb,
you know,
I'm not an elderly person.
Uncomfortable around.
I'm not an elderly person, and I don't have a printer at home either. So don't feel left out there. I think that's one of those things that a lot of people don't have anymore. But I completely understand.
Yeah. And I mean, and some elderly are not comfortable with technology. We find that now you have to buy tickets to a sporting event online. You have no other choice. They're not going to take cash. Cash has become sort of a, you know, nobody wants to carry it, or they don't want you to give it to them. But I just wanted to voice my opinion on the whole credit card and insurance company. I've had to now not get paper statements because I refuse to pay $2 a month to have a paper statement. But I'm still working. I have access to a computer. I have access to a printer, and I want to see those things in print. Mm-hmm. I keep them, and a lot of elderly people do. A lot of young people don't keep any of that. Like, none of my children keep a check register. They all, rely on the computer, mm-hmm. tell them how much is in their checking account. But a lot of elderly people still want that paper, want to be able to keep those receipts and actually look at it each month and see what did they spend. But anyway, thanks for listening.
Oh, absolutely, Barb. Appreciate the phone call. And you and my folks, not too different. They like the paper statements as well. It always used to be that you get a discount, that if you went paperless, they would give you a discount. And now it does seem that that's something that they're moving towards, where you get charged if you want a paper and go on the opposite of what they're striving to. And that really comes down to, I think, the bottom lines. These credit card companies are saying, hey, if we don't have to send paper statements out every single month, that's a lot of cost savings that we have in printing materials, in the postage, all of those things. So it's definitely one of those aspects.
Credit card companies are really just hurting for cash.
We need to focus attention on them. We need to make sure that they're being taken care of, because, you know, it's the credit card companies of the world that are the ones that need looking out for.
For sure.
Phone call, Barb. You can be like Barb. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You're listening to the Todd Alba Show, Luke's version. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Alba on this Friday afternoon, talking about what the role should be of our government in our daily lives. You got some folks out there, I believe Grover Norquist was the one that first originally coined it during the Bush administration, but he wanted a government so small that he could drown it in a bathtub. But then that becomes a government that can't be there to say, hey, corporations, knock it off and stop it with these junk fees. Stop making it so that you have to go paperless. Stop. You don't have that advocate in the arena as citizens if all of a sudden government is that small.
Yeah, I think we just have too many people for government to be that small. And wealth is too consolidated.
I don't think you could ever have a government that small.
I think you can if the population is also small. Like if you had an anarcho...
Population of 10?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like very, very small. But then it's not really a nation. That's kind of just a household.
No, it's not. Exactly.
One of the articles that I picked up in this conversation as well, I want to talk about it from number of months back in April, but a similar headline talking about this. Biden administration issues new rule for airlines that require automatic cash refunds, prohibit surprise fees. This one over at CNBC. So it's very much in the same vein of consumer protections, looking out for us rather than saying, hey, airline companies, it's the wild, wild west. Do what you want. Make some money. doesn't matter if it's through junk fees or through not issuing refunds when you, as the airline provider, can't actually deliver that flight and all of a sudden something's canceled and you got to get moved around. No, it's not that. It's the Biden administration saying, hey, consumers have a role in this as well, and they shouldn't be taken advantage of.
And once again, with physical safety, companies like Boeing, they've been mired in controversy.
That's a whole other chapter of what's going on in the airline industry. This one a little bit more, I think, applicable to the day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
But that safety, absolutely. 855-75-CIVIC. You can join the conversation. Let's head over to Kurt in Madison. Kurt, what's on your mind this Friday afternoon?
Mark stole a little bit of my thunder, but one of the things that to make messaging effective, we need a container for identifying the things that we're asking government to do for us. So we have to go back to the founders, and they spoke about the Commonwealth. It doesn't matter if you're an R&D. I think we can all come up with a list of things to put in that container of the Commonwealth, like clean air, clean water, clean soil, regulations of corporations, medical care, pharmacy. I could go on and on. But instead of just haphazardly throwing what we want out there, let's put it in a container with a simple word on it that everybody can understand. The Commonwealth, all of us, we the people. That needs to be done if we're going to get anywhere with this, especially to get Kamala Harris to understand what our demands are.
Appreciate the phone call, Kurt. You can be like Kurt. 855-752-4842. Share your opinion on what the role of government should be. I think talking about it and referring some of those founding documents, the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, as a number of folks have, I think is an important part. Because for a very long time, there has been a belief that only conservative individuals out there believe those. But that's not true. We're all Americans. We all have the ability to share what our views of, as Kurt just said, what the Commonwealth is. As Lisa said, what constitutes her ability for life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I think those are very important, but I think it's also extremely, extremely important to bring it back to what is going on in our current day-to-day lives, about how these things can be translated from some of those founding documents to how we go about our daily lives and where things like that can appear when it comes to talking about junk fees, talking about prescription drug prices, talking about from making it as easy to cancel a subscription as signing up for one. To prevent a doom loop, this is one we haven't even got to yet, but the wait time that it takes when you're calling for customer support, when you want to talk to somebody at a business that you are a consumer to, that you have purchased something through their products, that you have a subscription, that they're a provider in some way, but then they keep you on hold. And customer support is more of a joke than an actual department. Things like that. This one over at Reuters. Biden to tackle helpline wait times in pro-consumer push. This one again, earlier from this week. Three of these headlines from this week alone, talking about consumer protections that the Biden-Harris administration is working on. But again, I think vastly, vastly forgotten about in the fact of the horse race. And I get it. We had a primary coverage of election as well. Very important things to be keeping up with. The consequences of what happens in November, very important to keep up with. But translating it from those high ideals of how we create a more perfect union, how we link some of those founding documents into our day-to-day lives, what the two visions are for our government going forward come January, depending it be a Harris administration or a second Trump administration. Important aspects to weave into the conversation. Really glad that I have the opportunity to have this conversation with you on this Friday afternoon. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Todd Alba, who's setting up for the DNC. He's excited to bring you coverage starting next Monday. We're going to continue the conversation on the other side. 855-752-4842. Chime in with your thoughts.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Our southern border isn't chaos, with drugs and criminals flowing into our country. But sanctuary cities protect illegal immigrants who commit crimes from being deported. Like an illegal immigrant arrested for battery in Madison. He should have been deported. Instead, he was released back into the community and went on to assault several more women, including a 13-year-old girl. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted 9 times to support federal funding for sanctuary cities that refuse to cooperate with immigration officials and release these dangerous criminals back onto our streets. And Senator Baldwin voted for amnesty for 11 million illegals, including convicted criminals. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-1068, the Stop Dangerous Sanctuary Cities Act. Stop protecting illegal immigrants and start protecting Wisconsin. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show, Luke's version on this Friday afternoon. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Mr. Alba as he is in Chicago getting things set up for DNC coverage across the Civic Media Radio Network next week, Monday through Thursday. The team will be there live on the ground, ready to bring you everything that's going on that you need to know across the state of Wisconsin from what's taking place there at the DNC in Chicago. If you want to stay up to date with the latest news in Wisconsin, be sure to subscribe to the Civic Media Digest at civicmedia.us/email. We'll send you an email once a week, catching up on everything you may have missed. Again, the horse race, the primary coverage, what's going on in your daily lives. It's hard to stay up to date with everything, so go head over to the Civic Media website and subscribe to our weekly digest. We will do our best to keep you informed with what you need to know. We've got the Milwaukee Brewers hosting the Cleveland Guardians. I always forget still that it's the Guardians now.
What was it before?
Cleveland Indians. They changed the name a few years ago. Away from Indians. Yes.
That's what I thought. Guardians. When you said Cleveland Guardians, I was like, who the hell are you talking about?
It still throws me off.
It's a good change. Yeah. I just am not used to it.
As a fan of somebody in the National League, not that I forget about American League teams, but it's just one of those things that kind of flies a little under the radar.
So, I forget about American League teams.
One of the best teams, though, in the American League, the Guardians, coming to town for a 3-game series this weekend. First pitch is 7:10. You can tune in to the start of broadcast coverage beginning at 6:35 on several different Civic Media stations. So you can listen in Oshkosh on WISS and around the state on several others. Having a conversation about what the role of government should be, talking about some of the consumer protections that may have flown under the radar for you this week with the Biden-Harris administration announcing new protections for consumers when it comes to tackling wait times for customer support, for making it easier to cancel subscriptions, as well as the big, big headline of the week, the White House announcing the 10 drugs that they have negotiated prices for to save American taxpayers and American seniors billions of dollars. With the new prices announced yesterday, the administration says savings are expected to total $6 billion for taxpayers and $1.5 billion overall for some of the 67 million people who rely on Medicare. Details on those calculations, however, have not been released, so we're going to keep an eye on that. But the range is between 38% and 79% of price reduction between now and when it takes effect in 2026. So billions of dollars saved through the ability for the federal government to negotiate with pharmaceutical companies the prices for just 10 drugs. $6 billion savings on just 10 drugs. It's insane. Want to hear your thoughts on what the role of government should be? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Let's head over. We've got Gary from Sussex on the line. Gary, what are your thoughts on this Friday afternoon?
Well, you know who I am, right? Gary from Sussex.
Gary, how could I possibly forget who you are, bud?
Oh, okay, I just want to make sure. I like listening to you guys all the time. But I'm just wondering, who is actually running the government, like, right now? We all know that Joe has been out of the loop for at least a year. And why all of a sudden Kamala Harris is saying, day one, we're going to do this. Day one, we're going to do that. Day one, we're going to do this. Why, if they've been president and co-president for all these years,
there's not two presidents, wow. Gary. Let's start there real quick. And what makes you say that President Biden's been MIA for the last year?
Because after you saw the debate, you knew that he had problems.
The debate happened 6 weeks ago, Gary. You claim that he's been MIA for the last year. That's a pretty bold claim to have when you're then using your example from 6 weeks ago while the president had a cold and, yes, a pretty terrible debate performance, which he admitted.
Hey, look, just between you and me, forget about the listeners. Do you honestly think that Joe Biden had his problems in the last 6 weeks, or do you think it's been going on for years? Between you and me now.
Do people keep aging, Gary? Is that the question? Yes, because I keep getting older. You keep getting older. President Biden kept getting older throughout his whole time in office. So let's not act like there's some kind of miracle non-aging aspect. The presidency actually does the reverse, Gary. The presidency takes a toll. Hang on, Gary. We're having a conversation. It's not polite to talk over each other. The presidency takes a toll. You see it from George W. Bush when he started as a man, I believe, in his early 50s when he took office in 2000. You could see it when he left in 08. Same thing with President Obama. He was a young man, and he came out with salt and pepper in his hair. Same thing to former President Donald Trump. He aged as well, and so let's not pretend like the presidency doesn't age people. Now, President Biden decided that he was going to run on his record, which he got a lot done in 2 years. He hasn't had the support of Congress this last year and a half, Gary, since the midterms. So a lot of the things that he got done, he laid the groundwork for it alone in his first 2 years of his administration. And I'm sorry, the administration announcing the fact that it's going to save taxpayers and seniors $6 billion yesterday, I don't think that happened overnight. So if you're telling me you think he's been MIA over the last year, I don't quite understand it, Gary.
Okay, then why, Luke, are they announcing all these really nice things? Like Kamala says, day one, I'm going to do this. Why haven't they done this day one 4 years ago? Why is all of a sudden this stuff is happening like right now?
Gary,
I just don't understand it.
Gary, how much can you get done in 24 hours?
Oh, I get a lot, especially when it's hot. You know, I own a heating company, so I'm heating and air conditioning. So, yes, some days I get a lot done, and some days I don't.
Do you save $6 billion? Do you save $6 billion in a 24-hour period?
Not even close.
Exactly, Gary. So let's not act like this all happens. Hang on, Gary. This doesn't all happen in an immediate sense. The Harris campaign, as much as this is the right for the Trump campaign to say, these are our priorities day one, this is what we hope to accomplish in 100 days, that's part of campaigning, Gary. It's not that the vice president... Exactly. So why would the vice president not be able to say, hey, as soon as I, because they're not co-presidents. I don't know what you get that term from as president and co-president. They're president and vice president. And Biden has had the ability to run the government the way that he sees fit for his term. And now if she wins in November, Vice President Kamala Harris would have the same ability. So she gets the ability to roll out what her priorities would be on day one. It's facetious to say, well, why hasn't she done it already? There's only so much that can get done. The infrastructure bill, negotiating drug prices, so much more. We're up against a hard break here, Gary. I really appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling in. You can be like Gary, 855-75-CIVIC. Going to continue the conversation when we return.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we're in Milwaukee getting set to board the train as we preview this week's Democratic National Convention in Chicago.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Who is the toughest billionaire? I'm pretty sure I could take Warren Buffett. He's like 94. Elon Musk is the richest guy in the world. He's got like 200 billion bucks. Then Jeff Bezos.
I don't know how Jeff would fight.
What about Mark Zuckerberg?
No, that guy.
I'll say Bill Gates. He would probably take a dive.
Isn't Michael Jordan a billionaire now?
Okay, I would take Michael Jordan.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.